Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, we talk about the new labor updates. We talk a little bit about some birthday stuff, and we talk about maybe college baseball taking over our life. So that's what's on tap. So make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, and we are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. This show is free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, subscribe in all those places and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. This is your first time listening or watching. My name is Vince Samperio. That's Jeff Snyder. I'm from Ravine Fiends. He's from Baseball Essential. And we are lifelong Dodger fans just like you, but we've also spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and locker room. And while we're not quite insiders, which is a good thing, we also bring the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button, as people say on these YouTubes and podcast worlds, and let's talk Dodgers. Jeff, we are talking not so much Dodgers today, talking a little bit of MLB lockout stuff. Shameful plug right now as you're recording, it's my birthday, so we're going to talk a little bit about our birthdays and see if there's any fun players born the same day we were, and then we are going to talk a little bit about college baseball and maybe some other baseball that could benefit from the MLB being in lockout right now. But first, let's talk about the new update. The players and owners met for a few more hours on Tuesday or Wednesday. No deal yet. They're still pretty close. I mean, we're still pretty far away in terms of money on a few things. MLB made it very clear that if there isn't a deal by Monday, games will be canceled. They will not be made up. The season will not be 162 games, and players won't be paid for the full season. It seems like a little bit of strong-arming from MLB, just in the sense that they're used to the players conceding, and I think they are banking on that again, seeing as how their negotiations, they seem to go up in very small increments rather than actually negotiating and trying to find a compromise.
Yeah, so a week or two ago, we got phones work both ways. So Rob Manfred taught us about telephones and how they work. This time we have a deadline is a deadline. So MLB is teaching us about tautologies, I guess. It is frustrating, to say the least, that rather than actually negotiating, their tactic appears to be dig your heels in and say take it or leave it. It would be interesting to see if MLB, if they actually don't come to an agreement and so they don't play a full season, MLB attempting to not pay the players for a full season could be an interesting legal battle, simply because MLB is they're the ones that started the lockout. They locked out the players. And I don't know if they can really get away with saying, we're not going to allow you to play and we're not going to pay you because you're not playing. That seems like it is a violation of some sort of contract. I'm not an attorney. I don't even play one on TV. But it seems to me like that would be inviting some issues. And, you know, maybe they're just trying to light a fire under both sides or something. And just, hey, remember, we've got this deadline. We're only 5 days away. But it's pretty frustrating as a fan.
Yeah, frustrating as a fan. You know, Jeff Passan summed it up. They're about $31 million apart on the luxury tax. They're about $95 million apart on the bonus pool for pre-arbitration players. They're about $135,000 apart on minimum salary. And they're about three picks apart in terms of a draft lottery to decrease tanking. And, I mean, like, it's just fun. Like, you think about it, okay, $135,000. Yeah, that's the closest, obviously, they are, because that's based on one season. And the MLB comes in and goes up by 10K, and they went up about five, they're 100 million apart. They went up by like 5 million the other day. They're just making these small little concessions, knowing and banking on the fact that that the players are going to end up giving in once games are starting, to be canceled. And as far as we know, this is probably one of the more united fronts the players have had in these types of negotiations and in these talks. Because, yeah, in the past, they have always ended up conceding. And this is why they're at this point now where the owners don't want things to change and the players do want things to change, because in the past, they've continued to kind of let the owners get away with this stuff. And, you know, whether it's they miss games and that's the way they force the hand, or whether, you know, there's some kind of compromise that they actually do come to, whether the players do end up conceding, you know, it all comes down to it's hurting the fans. And as we'll talk about later, you know, maybe losing some fans to some other forms of baseball. And it's just, I don't know. It's February 23rd. We should be talking about probably, I think today or yesterday would have been the first game of spring training. We should be talking about more fun things. And here we are talking about how baseball hasn't started yet.
Yeah, for sure. That list of, the summary that Jeff Passan tweeted out, like you, that you mentioned, of how far they are apart, it's kind of misleading, probably isn't quite the right word, but all of those things are on a different scale. You know, the pre-arb bonus pool, $95 million apart, but that is total. That's a total of $95 million, whereas the competitive balance tax, $31 million apart, but that's per team. So that's actually a $900 million difference, potentially. And the $135,000 minimum salary difference, that's per player, which is, again, you know, tens of millions of dollars overall. It's kind of interesting that one of the points Passan made was that they haven't even started talking about the competitive balance tax, and that's going to be the biggest sticking point. And, you know, Passan says that one side is just waiting for the other side to blink. You know, the optimistic side of me wants to believe that what they're doing is thinking, okay, if we can hammer out the other stuff first, then maybe we'll have some momentum going and we'll be ready to compromise and make a deal on the CBT. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but that could be why they're waiting for that for last. Let's try to get agreement on the stuff that isn't as big a sticking point and get a little momentum going towards a deal.
Yeah, and the CBT is the one that sticks out the most, just for the simple fact of we know teams are already treating this as a kind of de facto salary cap for the most part. Obviously, the Dodgers have blown past it in the past and some other teams have, but for the most part, teams kind of treat it like salary cap. And for MLB, they're saying we want to keep it around the same or maybe slightly more, but with the penalties way harsher. So you're basically saying, all right, if these guys are already treating like salary cap, we want to treat it even more like salary cap. And in that sense, it doesn't make sense in terms of, well, you know, if you're trying to compromise or you're actually trying to make an agreement, you're even making it worse from the previous CBA, which probably isn't something that should be fighting for.
Yeah, it's crazy. We have five more days left until the self-imposed deadline that, as we were reminded, is a deadline. I remain optimistic, even if there's no reason for optimism, that they will get it done. I think deadlines often serve their purpose simply by virtue of existing. An arbitrary deadline is just as effective as a meaningful deadline sometimes. So hopefully, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if I said it on the podcast. I know I've said it to people out loud, but if February 27th, things look hopeless, and then February 28th, they magically come to a deal, because I don't think either side wants to miss games. But I think both sides are willing to, if necessary. And maybe the fact that both sides are willing to miss games, if necessary, might spur each other to say, okay, well, let's just go ahead and figure this out, because neither of us actually wants to miss games.
Yeah, we can only hope in that sense. All right, we're going to talk about some birthdays, see what players or if any special players born on the same day Jeff and I were born. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. It's almost the end of February, so, you know, if you had some New Year's resolutions, maybe it didn't quite work out, March 1st is coming up, and, you know, a new month is always a time to start a new resolution or whatever you want to do. And Built Bar can help you out with that. They are the best tasting protein bars out there. They taste great. They're good for you. They also have Built Puffs, which is protein infused marshmallow, which I think might even taste better than Built Bars. And Built Bars already taste really good. So go check them out. They got great flavors. Churro. They got coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie, a bunch of different flavors. They're always adding flavors, moving flavors, trying new flavors out. Go to built.com, check it all out, see what you need. They're low-calorie, high-protein, basically candy bars that also are protein bars. And Right now, you can get 15% off if you go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. That's 15% off with the promo code LOCKED15 at built.com. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. If you need another listen during your day, Locked On MLB Prospects has got you covered. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's also free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's talk birthdays, Jeff. So today, February 23rd, as we're recording, my birthday, your birthday is later on in the year in July, right?
Nope. No. I know yours. Come on, Vince.
Well, mine just happened. I thought it was July. June. All right, that was a month off. So we looked and seeing if there was any good, fun players born on our birthdays, and no. Nobody that's going to knock any doors down anywhere in terms of popularity, but there's a few that stand out, a few guys that played for the Dodgers. So, Jeff, since I just messed up yours, I'll let you start and let us know who was born the same day you were.
Yeah, I think maybe the most notable one, at least to most name recognition to people listening to this podcast or watching it, is probably Raul Ibanez, who never played for the Dodgers. But he does work for the Dodgers. Last I knew anyway, he was one of their special assistants in the front office. And I always thought that he played for the Dodgers because I used to get him and Kareem Garcia mixed up. And Kareem Garcia did play for the Dodgers, I think. Mm-hmm. But Raul Ibanez was pretty good. He's only the third best player born on my birthday, according to WAR. The other two were two pitchers from the 60s, Jim Maloney and Larry Jackson. Larry Jackson, kind of interesting. He, after his playing career, he served in the Idaho House of Representatives and actually ran for governor of Idaho and finished in fourth place in the primary. So that's how good a candidate he was. Top four in the Republican primary. So that's Ibanez is probably the biggest name. Then I've got a few that did play for the Dodgers that I'll mention after you talk about one or two of yours.
Yeah, so on my birthday, there's not a lot. There's one Hall of Famer, Ray Brown, who was voted in. He played in the Negro Leagues, I believe. I don't know if he ever played in the never played in the majors, but was voted in by the Negro League Committee. He's the top WAR on my birthday. But the next two after that both played on the Dodgers. One that I hadn't heard of, but Jeff had. So Ron Hunt, who was the hit-by-pitch master, he led the league in hit-by-pitches 7 years in a row. He had 50 hit-by-pitches in one season before. He did play 1 year for the Dodgers, but only got hit by a pitch 10 times that year in 110 games. But the other one is Bobby Bonilla, who is not really known for his time with the Dodgers, but is known every July 1st when he gets paid out by the Mets based on his contract and Bobby Bonilla Day. So, yeah, I'm proud to share with a man that was able to finesse the Mets out of not going broke in his later years, if that was, a route he was potentially on, because he gets paid $1 million whatever every year.
Yeah, and that deal, it works out for both sides. It actually made sense for the Mets financially. Bonilla, if he had taken what they owed him at the time and actually invested it, he would have been better off with that, but it's probably a case of Bobby Bonilla understanding himself, recognizing his own limitations, and, kind of being forced to be smarter with his money. And, we should all be forced to be smart living on only, $1.5 million a year or whatever it is. I'd probably figure out a way to make it happen. Bonilla is, he definitely keeps himself in the news that way. I have, let's see, seven guys who played for the Dodgers who were born on my birthday. And there's some cool names. There's a guy who played from 1923 to 1933 named Sloppy Thurston. Sloppy Thurston, I assume that's not his real name. Let's see what his given name is. Hollis John Thurston. But I'm not sure why he went by Sloppy. But, he doesn't look super sloppy in his picture. But then there was Chinhui Sao, you probably remember him. Gene Michael, who was best known as a general manager and manager for the Yankees nicknamed Stick. He was a big part of building the Yankees dynasty in the 90s. Lemmy Miller played just 8 games in 1984 for the Dodgers. Wow, a guy in 1984 named Lemmy, and I'd never heard of him. Rene Valdez, Chance Sanford, and then Bob Lillis, who I remember Bob Lillis from my childhood as a manager. I remember him managing the Astros, I believe, in the 1980s. He was not much of a ball player, had negative 3.6 career WAR in his 10-year career, but he was born on my birthday, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's all you got. That's all you need to be cool is to be born the same day as Jeff Snyder. So, yeah, mine, there's not a lot more Dodgers, not a lot more names like that either. The other one that stands out, John Shelby, played for the Dodgers 4 years, was there for the 88 World Series. I think he's a guy, I want to say he helps out the Dodgers still and does some of the stuff when they have openings of state or little parks and stuff, but I might be mistaken there. The other one is Luke Prokopek, who I always remembered the name Luke Prokopek. I couldn't have told you anything else really about him. He did pitch for the Dodgers a couple years, was part of a trade that brought over Cesar Asturias and Paul Quantrill to the Dodgers, ended up signing with the Dodgers after that trade, and then never pitched for them, then got taken from the Reds in the Rule 5 draft. There's a couple of guys that I've never heard of. Phil Hogstad, who played started playing in 1947, and the guy Grant Thatcher, who played in 1903 and 1904. So, yeah, that's really the extent of Dodgers born on my birthday or any significant players really born on my birthday. I guess Elston Howard is a name I've heard of, but I don't know.
Elston Howard's a huge one, man.
Yeah, well, it's a name I heard of, but he played in a long time ago when I was not alive.
Yeah. 1960s. Yeah. I remember Elston Howard cards from looking through my dad's baseball cards. I have a couple of the good names, guys who didn't play for the Dodgers, but a guy named Farmer Burns, who played one game with the Cardinals in 1901. Two Negro Leaguers, Army Rhodes and Steel Arm Dickey. I think Steel Arm Dickey might be the best name in baseball history. Yeah, I think Steel Arm is probably the best. There's a lot of names, guys I've kind of heard of. Jerry Lumpy, the original Mike Stanton. No, not the original. Mike Stanton, part two of three, the Yankees pitcher, not the Mariners pitcher and not the guy who changed his name to Giancarlo, but the one in between those two. Yeah, lots of guys. 50 guys in baseball history born on my birthday.
Yeah, there you go. We definitely don't have a birthday. My mom's birthday is not for baseball-wise, but she's born the same day as Vicente Fernandez and Michael Jordan, so she gets a pretty cool birthday.
None of those can compare to January 31st when you had Jackie Robinson, Nolan Ryan, and Ernie Banks all on the same day.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's one. I think the day LeBron's birthday, there's like two or three, or when Tiger Woods' birthday, one of them, there's like two or three like Hall of Famers in different sports. But either way, we were born these days that we talked about, so that's what really matters.
And really, the main point is happy birthday to Vince.
Yeah. That's always going to be a main point for me every year. So thank you for that. We're going to talk about how other baseball and baseball type sports can maybe take advantage of this time right now. First, we're going to talk about BetOnline, because BetOnline football is over. Baseball is not started. But basketball is full steam ahead for both pro and college hoops. There's a big tournament coming up next month for college hoops. There's NBA playoffs coming up for pro hoops. And BetOnline has you covered for all the latest odds, totals, and player performance props, or even where the next fired coach is going to land once the season ends. BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs and the top spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. Not just basketball. They also got you covered for hockey, boxing, UFC, and any other sports that may come around the rest of the year. So head to betonline.net today on your laptop or mobile device. Learn about all the trends, learn about all the action, and learn how you can start putting some money down. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Jeff. So this last segment comes from the fact that this past weekend, I watched more college baseball, I think, than I have the past 3 or 4 years combined. Obviously, baseball, pitcher and catcher would have been working out. We would have been thinking Dodgers. But they wouldn't necessarily been any games, I don't think, or maybe a couple games. So seasons might have been started. But I think just based on the fact that we haven't had anything baseball related for so long, the fact that college baseball is back, and even softball, which started a couple or the week before, I believe, made me think of, you know, obviously the lockout could end this weekend and all this will end up being for naught. But if it does extend a little bit, if people do get turned off by professional MLB baseball, is there any way for maybe college baseball, college softball, or even some of, you know, we talked about the Korean League a couple years ago. We were all in on the Dinos, and then baseball Dodger season started, and we never talked about the Dinos again, although they did win the championship that year. So we picked two champions in 2020. But is there any way for them to maybe steal some fans from MLB?
Yeah, I don't know about stealing fans, but maybe at least taking advantage of any downtime there is. I think actually, you know, there are some fans who, if they do miss games, I've said this before, if they miss games because of this, there are some fans who aren't going to come back. Some fans are going to say, I'm done with Major League Baseball, I'm moving on. And you know, those fans will probably go somewhere else. They'll probably still be sports fans. I remember watching the Super Bowl the other week. Like, most of the time for me, my favorite thing about the Super Bowl is knowing that pitchers and catchers are about to report to spring training. I watch the Super Bowl. It's fine. You know me, I don't actually care about football very much. But for me, the Super Bowl signifies it's almost baseball season. And this time there wasn't that. And, you know, it helped that I actually cared a little bit more than usual about the actual Super Bowl game. But it was a little bit sad for me that I didn't have spring training to look forward to. Obviously, it's going to happen at some point, but we don't know when. And something about knowing exactly when something's going to happen is important. And so, like you said, you know, you watched more college baseball this weekend. I didn't watch any, but that's at least in part because I was watching my son play real baseball in person at a baseball tournament. And so I wasn't watching anything on TV this weekend. But it was like, even going to my son's baseball tournament, you know, we always have baseball tournaments in February and March for my kids. And there's always, like, part of that is me checking Twitter. Okay, what baseball news is there? You know, what's going on in spring training right now? I remember in 2020, I was down at a baseball tournament and watching on Twitter while watching my son play. I was following along on Twitter, and Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID. Oh, the Jazz Thunder game was shut down. The NBA shut down. Oh, spring training is shut down. Oh, and I remember you and me doing a podcast that night from I was sitting in my car, and we did a podcast talking about the season being shut down. But, you know, those baseball tournaments that I go to, everything about February and March all the time for me revolves around spring training is going on, and it's almost baseball season. And because there isn't that, you know, I think a lot of people will be looking for something to fill that gap.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't stealing fans. If you're a fan of Major League Baseball, more than likely, I mean, if you consider yourself a fan of Major League Baseball, not just a specific team, then it might be hard to, you know, pry you away unless you're one of those, like, oh, these guys are a bunch of millionaires arguing with each other is not, you know, and then you get turned off. But when it gets down to, like I said, other baseball, I think Korean baseball had its chance. Obviously, it didn't really, you know, take hold. You know, Japanese baseball will always be popular in its certain niche, but I don't think, you know, it's ever going to be popular to the masses over here. College baseball does a good job in terms of social media, but it's also, you know, a very small sector that it affects. I think that baseball, like college baseball teams and college softball teams, both have some of the, you know, better social media, uses of social media out there. You know, they get different angles. Their players are a little bit more interactive. These guys do have TikToks, and I do think it's helping resonate a little bit, but also to, like, the greater masses, not really, especially, you know, the College Baseball World Series every year, it doesn't quite get the ratings. I think it was up a little bit last year. College softball usually gets a little bit more of the ratings bump there. But if there was a bunch of these players now, like, more marketable, maybe these new NIL deals that happen in college where you might know some of these faces a little bit more in the future, it could help out them. But I don't think baseball would have to miss, I guess it would have to go the rest of, like, March without a deal, or something that drastic to maybe even switch off a small percentage of people. But I do think it's good for them for it to be happening right now, because like I said, I watched more than I had in the past. I have a little bit, you know, I know a couple people in Oklahoma. I know a couple other guys that I either coached or were around the same little league or from the same hometown around college baseball. So I check in on them. Long Beach State, where I went for college, is good at baseball again. So that, you know, I check in on them. But I don't know if they can ever really get to a point where it's taking MLB fans.
Yeah. And if there's one thing I learned about myself from our Dinos experience in 2020, it's that while I am anxious to find a replacement when there's not Major League Baseball, I don't actually care about those replacements very much, you know, especially for me, you know, that I've always been just a Major League Baseball guy, and I don't care about other sports, other leagues, anything. It's all just killing time till baseball season. And so even other baseball, like for me, there's a big appeal of, you know, caring about the games, caring about who wins and all that, that I can't replace it with just another baseball game for whatever reason. But you know, that could change depending on how long this lockout goes, but hopefully it's only going 5 more days and then they'll figure it out.
Yeah, that'd be the ideal situation. And it's also a matter too for MLB to kind of realize that once the lockout does end, I talked about this the other day, baseball is going to be like, there's nothing else going on right now other than, you know, the last couple weeks or last month or whatever of NBA season. March Madness starts toward the end of March. If they can get it done here in the next week, even the next 2 weeks, you're going to have everybody time out MLB for positive thing. At least, you know, this whole thing was dragged out negative, but it'll end up positive. You're going to have a bunch of free agents signing. You're going to have a bunch of frenzy going on. You're going to have a bunch of guys reporting. You're going to have everybody's favorite players, you know, back on their timelines in terms of social media, back on their TVs if they're watching TV. So it's a matter of they have until from now, basically until the time that March Madness starts or even the conference tournament start in college basketball, which is mid-March, for them to take advantage of it. So I think they really need to do it now because, I mean, we've talked about baseball kind of being in a weird spot and, you know, they're in a good spot with in terms of young talent. They're in a bad spot in terms of clearly they're not being you know, the league's not being managed the way it should be. But I do think of all this negativity that's been around the lockout, there's another 2-3 week window where they can turn it into a positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. All right, Jeff. So that's all we had on tap for today's episode. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube, and we're all free. So check us out there. You want to make it your second listen of the day, Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. He brings his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. Also free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog, and I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts for any questions, comments, concerns, anything, topics, whatever you want us to talk about. We usually are pretty good about getting back to you and talking about what you want to talk about, assuming it's appropriate. You can also reach us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can reach us via voicemail or text at 323-863-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Take my advice, play podcasts, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.